Because behind every smile is a potential suspect. You're listening to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Prosecutors in Minnesota have upgraded charges against Stephen Frayne Bailey, who's 56, after he allegedly drove his BMW X5 through the patio of a crowded restaurant, killing two people and injuring nine others. The incident occurred September 1st at Park Tavern in St. Louis Park, a suburb of Minneapolis. Bailey was initially charged with vehicular homicide and other drunk driving offenses. However, after reviewing surveillance footage, prosecutors added two counts of third-degree murder, citing his depraved mind in committing a dangerous act. According to a probable cause affidavit, Bailey hit a parked vehicle in the restaurant's lot before attempting to flee. As he accelerated, his SUV struck another vehicle and plowed through a metal fence into the restaurant's outdoor seating area. Authorities say Bailey showed no signs of braking as he drove through the patio, striking multiple people and tables. After hitting the black SUV, defendant accelerated past a two-lane drive in the parking lot and 11 parking spaces before plowing his vehicle through a metal fence and into the patio seating area, detectives wrote. His vehicle finally stopped after hitting two boulders. According to among the victims, rather, were Christina Marie Folkerts, who was 30, who was trapped under the vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene, and Gabriel Quinn Harvey, 30, who died later at a hospital. According to the affidavit, Bailey stumbled from the car and fell out. Officers reported hearing him say, "I'm fucked and I'm probably going to jail." He also claimed he intended to brake but accidentally accelerated. His speech was slurred and his eyes were watery. When information about the field sobriety tests remarked, "You don't need to do fields. I know what I did." The affidavit stated that Bailey had a blood alcohol content of 0.325, which is more than four times the legal limit of 0.08. After being taken to Hennepin County Jail, he was informed of the vehicular manslaughter charges. Bailey allegedly responded, "You got to be kidding me." And, quote, "My life is pretty much fucked now, isn't it?" Yeah, it is. In addition to the murder charges, prosecutors are seeking an upward sentencing departure due to Bailey's five prior drunk driving convictions, his high blood alcohol level, and the presence of children at the restaurant during the crash. The community has rallied around the victims, raising over $200,000 for Folkert's family through a GoFundMe campaign. Folkert's a mother of three and a Park Tavern employee, was remembered for her passion for photography and her love for her daughters. Harvey, who worked as a health unit coordinator at Methodist Hospital, was also honored through fundraising efforts. He was set to graduate nursing school in December. Bailey is currently being held in a $500,000 bond at Hennepin County Jail with a court date set for October 1st. I think this
makes
is one...
so mad.
You put him in the jail cell, you just keep showing him what he did and give him a nice big fucking rope. And go, would you like to do something that maybe will save the taxpayers a little bit of money, maybe do something good and just end it now for all of us, please? Do the right thing for once in your fucking life and just leave our planet, please? People like this, my God.
His blood alcohol level was 0.325.
Yeah.
Like, that's high. And he's so messed up. Like, that one part where he goes through 11... parking spots and he goes, like, he hits a car and all this stuff and continues on.
Yeah.
Like 11 parking spots. And you're like, why do I keep accelerating? Oh, I'm so drunk. I don't know that I'm accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
Like it. And he kills a mother who's just went to work that day.
Yeah.
And then this other guy who is getting ready to be a nurse.
There's no place for you anymore. There's no place.
And then he says, "Oh, I'm fucked, aren't I?" Like, yeah. It's all about him.
Yeah. There's just no place for him anymore.
Okay, so this is the kind of stuff that pisses me off. He has five DUIs. Now, maybe after five DUIs, he's sober, never drinks anymore.
I think someone after that rarely ever gets completely sober.
But after five DUIs, how do you even have a driver's license? And he did have a valid driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have a driver's license? How can you even own a car? You had five DUIs.
Yep.
Like, you shouldn't even be able to get behind the wheel of a car. Like, after DUI number two, your driving privileges are gone forever, or whatever the number. Maybe it's three. Maybe people change their lives at three. But at five, His first one was at 17. The guy's never learned a lesson in his life.
No.
That just pisses me off. Like, it just seems to me like, and he's got a BMW X5. That's a nice vehicle.
Can you imagine what other terror this man has, like, left in his wake in life? Being just so selfish and just being who he is. I can only imagine the stories that surround this guy.
Right. Because, like, okay, you're driving a BMW X5. You could afford an Uber home.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I don't get. You know, I'm people with alcohol problems and the people who get really angry and belligerent, you know, and it's like, you can't tell them anything. And it's like, no, you can't drive home. You can't even stand up. I can drive. And they get really mad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they storm out. Like, and where was he drinking? That's another thing. Like, how did he get this shit-faced? Was he at a bar earlier? Did he get over-served? Did they know he took off? You know, so there could be more charges.
Oh, there likely will be. If he was drinking at a bar or you know, someplace.
Now, if he was drinking at home?
That's different.
Who was he drinking with? How did he end up this drunk behind the wheel of a car? I don't know. And he could have been drinking at home by himself.
He could have.
I don't know.
He could have been sitting in his car drinking. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, there will be, somebody's going to get sued there if it was a restaurant or a bar that allowed this to happen. Yeah.
That happened to a friend of mine. His son was just driving down the road and this drunk driver hit him and he killed him. And the other guy with him was really, really injured. And so they went to the bar where that person had been drinking and the bartender was arrested, put in jail for 5 years. This was in Colorado, put in jail for 5 years. And the owner, I think just ended up closing the bar. Just couldn't, like, it was too emotional and too much because I wouldn't want to own a bar after that. And, and apparently they tried to stop this woman from getting in her car and she didn't, but she drove off after sitting there drinking, and the bartender went to jail for 5 years.
Yeah. There needs to be, I mean, because those laws, the DRAM laws are, I mean, they're on the books. I think it very much depends geographically where you're living as to how much they're actually enforced. I think if they were enforced in places like Wisconsin or Michigan or other heavy drinking places in the north, you wouldn't have many bars open because they rely on people getting plowed at their restaurants or their bars, and that's what makes them their money. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be more accountability for those sort of things than we have, because we don't see it very often. We're seeing it in the Karen Reed case right now. Those two, the Waterfall Bar and Grill, and I forget what the other one is called, they're both getting sued civilly. Over-serving.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But at the end of the day, though, too, I mean, here's the thing. How you if you're the bar owner, and this is, I guess, playing devil's advocate here, how do you know what that person's going to do when they leave your establishment? They may tell you, oh, I got a ride, or I'm going to go get an Uber, but they still get behind their car. They can lie to you. I mean, unless you're going to literally walk out there with them and make sure that they do what they say they're going to do, how you can't control, you can't physically restrain them. You can't take away their keys. Maybe there should be something like that where, okay, if you're going to do this, if you're going to have this much, we're going to take your keys or something. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
And I mean, do insane. Bartend.
Yeah.
And so we have, you know, the waiters are like, do you have a driver? Like, they'll ask the table.
Yeah.
Like, is somebody here? And so there's somebody that's just drinking Cokes. No, I've got it. Okay, great. So then you could say, yeah, I asked. And this person said he was just drinking Cokes. Yeah. But at the same time, there's been more than once because I don't deal with customers. It's just a service bar. But I'm like, it might be an unusual drink. Like, somebody's drinking a gimlet. Nobody drinks those these days. And I've made five of them. Or this is my fifth order for a gimlet. I'm like, nobody should be drinking this much alcohol while they're here.
Yeah.
You got to cut them off.
Yeah.
That's the only way I know if it's an unusual drink like that. Yeah. Then, you know, there's not two people drinking gimlets tonight. Yeah. And so you really have to watch that all the time. And like, this person shouldn't have another one. And then you try to cut them off and then they get really angry.
Well, it's impossible in a lot of cases. It literally is. I mean, if you're in a small bar and there's not a lot of people, but if you're in like a packed bar, good luck. Good luck trying to keep track of that and then enforce anything and maintain a bar that anyone's going to go to. Because people will just stop going. I've been out many a times in my life. Never once have I ever had a server ever ask the group that I was with, is who's driving? It's just keep them coming. That's how it normally is. And again, it's different areas of the country that have such lax views on this. Wisconsin being one of them that I grew up. I mean, it's such part of the culture, and alcoholism is so rampant there, but it's not even recognized most of the time because it's so common.
And it's just, it's sad. It's just a sad situation.
It is.
I feel so bad for the families. All because this guy decided to get shit-faced and drive his car.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully there are very strict consequences for those actions.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.